Everyone, welcome to Ending the Drought, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. This is Season 4, Episode 10, and we apologize again for another long absence. I am Jason Webster with Jeff Webster and Jake Cranston.
Jake, yep. What's Jason, up? Evening, you all.
Summers are tough, huh?
Yeah, they are. For us, for some reason. For I don't know why.
Just a couple things getting in the way here and there. And, you know, last week we all had something going on and just couldn't do it. But it wasn't, I mean, at least it's preseason. So,
yeah.
You know, regular season, we're usually right on it.
Well, so. We're like the Bills.
Well, it's
like,
past all the stuff, you know. Yeah, we're out of the way.
Yeah, we're trying different things, screwing it up.
Yeah.
Hopefully not like the Bills. So.
Yeah, hopefully.
No, yeah. No, but a big
so we're getting ready.
A big day today, which you'll you'll hear this podcast on Thursday, but obviously we're talking about today because we had the cutdowns to get down to 53, and I guess the big news of the whole thing it was Von Miller being put to the PUP list, and the also trade of Boogie Basham going to the Giants too.
Right,
which, I didn't know if that was expected by anybody, but
it almost seems like
they talked about it.
It almost seems like Daboll kind of has like a fetish for our team, like anything that he can gobble up.
Yeah, I think that's part of it.
Well, yeah, and it kind of translates to McDermott pulling guys from Carolina.
Yep,
same type of thing. I guess you're just comfortable with the certain talent, and the you know you're a part of that organization for a bit. You know, kind of know the guys and.
Well, he didn't even really get to spend much time with Boogie, right? Or any time.
Not a lot. No, yeah. I mean,
but it's interesting. It's like he's got a soft spot, you know.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. The Giants definitely had a couple guys on their roster. So, Cole Beasley, he got cut by the Giants.
Yeah,
done. But
well, he's like 33 or whatever now. I don't know if that was that could have been actually by design. We want him for the preseason extra body, but yeah,
yep.
I'm not sure, but.
Yeah.
Von Miller like going, the Von Miller thing is kind of tough. I mean,
I thought he was going to with Boogie being gone, I thought he was going to be on the roster, but the guy that we didn't put into the whole plan was Jonathan Kingsley made the roster as a DN.
Surprises me, man.
He had a really good preseason.
I'm so glad. Like his story is awesome.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what he came out of Nigeria or something like that. I mean, he's just the path that he took to the NFL is way different than most people. So he's one of those guys you really root for. And
well, he played
for him, man. He played well. He
played at the University of Syracuse.
Yeah.
So yeah. He played for the Bears or got drafted by the Bears.
Right.
Played for them. They cut him. We picked him up. He had that injury. Didn't do a lot. Played a little special teams, but I guess he had. And I didn't really pay big attention to him, but I guess he had a really good preseason. They said his transition from moves to power has been good. Like I guess just a lot of stuff they've seen in him. So that makes more sense why they would put Von on the PUP because they have a little more trust in him. Now you still have two high DNs in Rousseau and Leonard Floyd.
Right.
You know, just those two alone.
Right.
And then you add the other guys in the mix.
Shaq Lawson.
Yep.
Now,
AJ Epinesa.
Now, I don't know how much of that works with the PUP. Is he guaranteed to come back after 4 weeks, or can they stall it out more?
So, yeah, I think what you do is you, after 4 weeks, you can bring him back. If you don't bring him back within maybe 3 weeks or something like that, he goes on full-time IR.
So you have to make
your
decision.
He's out for the season. So, yeah, once you...
By, like, week six.
Once you activate him, you need to start him practicing within 3 weeks or playing or something like that.
Yeah. So, basically, you have... 4 weeks that you can't play four games.
Right.
He can start. He can start getting ramped up and ready to go by week two if he wants. Right. To
yes.
get acclimated, then they can throw him right to the roster for game five against Jacksonville.
Yeah. They well, he can't that, practice so. With the team until after week four.
Right. But he can.
So, he can work out on his own, do whatever he wants to do.
He can be in game film. He can do all that stuff. Yep. He can get ready week
just
two.
Just can't practice with the team.
Right. He can do his own stuff, but I highly expect him to be on the roster game five. Now, he's not going to get the insane amount of reps.
Yeah.
You know.
No. Too much competition at the position now.
That you have, you have really two, three good edge rushers already. I think they'll kind of just start mixing them in, getting them acclimated, you know, which is fine because obviously you want the guy towards the end of the season and playoffs.
Right.
So
make sure he's healthy. Yeah.
Yeah. So that one.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
That's, you know, so that one was, I was a little like, ah, I want him to be week one, but.
Well, again, it might have something to do with the fact that if you look at their schedule, they do have the Jets on Monday night.
Yeah.
But how effective would he be? He hasn't been able to practice with the team. He's worked on his own primarily.
Right.
He just put some pads and a helmet on a week ago or less. So he probably wouldn't have been crazy effective for week one. So there goes the Jets. Then you got two, like, was it Raiders?
You got Raiders.
And then Washington.
The Commanders.
Yeah, so they're probably going, probably wouldn't have played them a bunch anyway.
Well, the two
then
games.
Then you got a home game against the Dolphins. So yeah.
Two out of the four, your first four games, you have easier opponents.
And at least
and
on
the Commanders
paper.
And the Raiders. Yeah,
I think you got a better shot of winning those without him.
Right.
So, yeah, and it's just, if he's healthier when he comes back and stronger in, you know, yeah, for sure. Because you do get to that point in the schedule where you're dealing with Cincinnati and Kansas City and those types of teams where you really, really
you
could use him.
100%. Now, were you at all surprised about the releasing Andy Isabella at all? Because basically what they're saying is he would be kind of a redundant type of guy next to Deontay Hardy if you had him on the roster.
Right.
But the word was, too, that Justin Shorter had a hamstring injury, that him and Spector both had hamstring injuries.
Right.
They're releasing Ferguson. They're going to bring one of those guys up to the roster and then put him on short-term IR, which sounds like it's going to be Shorter for sure.
Yep.
So that could be.
And they're pretty deep at receiver still.
They would have five.
Right.
So there would still be room where they could possibly bring either Isabella back or maybe there's another guy out there that they might think
is going to be available. There were some guys who, you know, call them whatever you will, preseason darlings or whatever, like Darrington Evans. He really showed off that 35-yard touchdown run.
Yeah.
Like he had one play that I'll remember from the preseason. I think a lot of people will. Andy Isabella, I thought, was, like, pretty steady, though. You know, he didn't really show off in the return game a bunch, but I think as far as route running and that kind of stuff, I thought he played fairly well. So he might be a target, but you don't know.
Yeah, it's hard
there was
to say.
A number of them. Keyshawn Johnson was pretty effective too at times.
Yeah, they had him returning kicks. I guess the last game, which I didn't even know about.
Yeah,
but Justin Shorter, for instance, they wanted him as the, one of the gunners.
Yes,
on special teams. Yep. Obviously he's gonna be out. Same as Spector, they're gonna have to finagle that somehow.
Right.
So it's gonna be interesting to see.
And I don't think they're done. I mean, another possibility would be they left themselves a little short in other areas too, where they might be eyeing somebody up, like you said, with Spector being injured. Maybe there's a linebacker that got cut somewhere that they think might possibly have a role with the team. Like, so I don't think they're completely done.
There's the guy from Houston that got cut.
The one they had interest in once before or whatever, right?
But he, I just don't know if they'd be willing to try to go. See, the thing is like, if you try to bring a guy in like that to the team right now, it's not like you're going to grab him, plug him in, and start him.
He
needs a lot of time to acclimate. So who knows about that? But what are we doing at quarterback? Barkley's on IR now.
Yeah.
So we need to bring
in
a guy.
Is he on long-term or short-term, you know?
Season ending.
So he's done.
Yeah.
So it's funny because I did see an article where somebody suggested the Bills might want to talk to Carson Wentz.
I don't know. We need a guy for practice squad. You know, basically.
So you think Kyle Allen's going to be the number two?
Well, as of right now, unless there's somebody that we really like that can go out there. Now, the funny thing is, did you guys see the Patriots cut both their backup quarterbacks?
Yeah.
They have one quarterback on the roster in Mac Jones.
Yep. It sort of feels like the deal with the devil came due a little bit when they lost Brady. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're just fucking cursed now.
And
really care. Whatever.
I mean, I see so many people that are so down on Mac Jones. It's not even funny. So to cut your other quarterbacks, so you're basically left alone with Mac Jones.
He's obviously trying to make a move to get somebody else. Probably
for sure.
Maybe a Malik Willis type guy.
Do you think it's going to be like a split time kind of thing where they're going to alternate quarterbacks all year?
Did they not re-sign Malik Willis?
It can't be good for the team, but he's just not good.
Are you thinking like a trade?
I don't know.
Malik Willis, he's not a free agent now, right?
No, he's on Tennessee's roster, yeah. But after they got Will Levis, I heard Will Levis has like got the backup locked in. Over. So there's a chance if Malik Willis goes to the practice squad, they don't protect him, he can get nabbed up, or there's got to be something.
There's always veteran quarterbacks that end up at this time of
Jake
year.
Fromm got cut
available. There you go.
I mean, there's going to be guys. There's that Will Greer that got cut.
Right. And I don't think you just nab somebody. I think you really, they got to try to find somebody that could be potentially a solid backup.
Right.
Right. And that's the only reason I say somebody like Carson Wentz, at least he has plenty of game experience.
Yeah.
He might not be the perfect solution, but he doesn't have to be even a backup at this point.
Yeah.
But there probably are some quarterbacks that will become available that may even be available now. But, knowing Brandon Bean, I'm sure they're shopping around, man.
Yeah, they'll find somebody.
They're always busy.
Yeah, they'll get somebody in there.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you, too. So the word is out that Boogie Basham went to the Giants.
Yep.
And we swapped a couple of late-round picks. People were suggesting we gave up a seventh and got a sixth, maybe? Or
we gave up a seventh in 2025. And received a sixth in 2025. And Boogie Basham. So basically, we got rid of him for peanuts.
Right.
Well,
it's funny because I was thinking about trashing the 49ers to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Because here you've got what was Trey Lance, like a third, fourth overall pick.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And they got rid of him for a fourth.
Right.
So I was kind of hoping the Bills at least moved up a couple of spots for Boogie Basham. But I guess you got to look at it from this perspective. It doesn't sound like he was going to make the team.
No, they were already really deep at edge rusher to begin with when Jonathan Kinsley was in the mix. That obviously bumped Basham out to be traded.
That says something to me.
Yeah.
If Jonathan Kinsley outperformed Boogie Basham to that point,
mm-hmm.
That really says something, because I didn't think Boogie Basham was horrible.
Well, it also made sense financially, right? Because we only ate like $324,000 or something, and we freed up $1.1 million.
Right.
In the end, I think with the Bills, it's every year is going to be that struggle to get those extra couple million here and there.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
right.
For sure.
And you got to do
that's
something.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. And I got a good stat for you, too, that kind of is an eye-opener about Boogie Basham. So this is pass rush win rate the last two seasons. So in 2021... Jerry Hughes, when he was on the roster, 16.7%. Mari Addison, 12%. Those guys are gone, whatever. So right. Epinesa in 21 was 9.8%. Rousseau, 9.3%. Basham, 5.2%. Okay,
right.
that's those guys, their first real action.
This is like Pro Football Focus or one of them that kind of tracks that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in 22 last year, Rousseau went from 9.3% to 16%. Almost 17%.
Wow.
Epinesa went from 9.8 to 12.
Wow.
Basham went from 5 to 8. So very small, small jump compared to Rousseau and Epinesa.
Well, he didn't even get to the point where they already were.
Right.
So what they're basically saying, the growth is too slow.
Yes.
I know Brandon Bean had mentioned that sometimes he fears that they're going to move on from a guy too soon. And somebody suggested probably because what happened with Wyatt Teller. He's on the team 1 year. They move on from him.
Right.
And he becomes a Pro Bowl guard.
Yeah.
For somebody else. So.
Well, the thing with Brandon Bean is, on social media right now, people are kind of getting after him about his early picks. For instance, in 2019, second round pick, Cody Ford traded. 2020,
right.
Third round pick, Zach Moss, traded.
Yep.
2021, second round pick, Boogie Basham, just got traded. 2022, first round pick, Kyir Elam, still, he's playing as a backup role to a sixth round pick in Benford. So it's like, okay, premium assets being spent and traded soon after is...
Yep. That's why I was saying I was going to shit on San Francisco. Because nobody so far, on the Bills has been a first round early pick that we've had to dump for peanuts. I mean, getting a fourth round pick for for Trey Lance seems like a joke. I mean, they must really have no hope for that dude whatsoever.
Well, they must be feeling really good about Purdy. But the question I was going to ask you regarding this here, if Elam is yet another miss, Jeff, do you start to get really concerned about keeping the cupboard stocked with premium talent? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because, I mean, I could certainly see the argument.
Because, like, he's turning, like, he's very good after the second round.
Right.
But first and second, so, I mean, Josh Allen is, and Trey got paid big to go to the Bears.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
he had
his
issues, right? Josh is really the guy at the top right now.
Yeah. His people brought up Zay Jones. You know, that was another one. But,
you know, do you is that a concerning thing, or is that just like a you can kind of pick and pluck that out of all different?
I was
GMs
just going to say,
NFL.
I think you'd almost have to look at a number of other teams and see, you know, see if they haven't had similar results, because it seems to me like the first 10 or 12 picks are pretty good bet. You're going to find success.
Yeah.
Then you go to like maybe in the first half of the first round, pretty good odds. Second half of the first round, maybe slimmer. Not a lot slimmer, but then when you get into the second round,
yeah,
it's like a gray area, right? Like you can get Osiris Torrance, who I believe will be fantastic forever.
For years.
Josh Allen literally said he's gonna be good for a very, very long time.
I agree.
He's already showing it.
Right.
But at the same time, somebody else who might have been not quite as highly touted or didn't have as good a career in college or whatever.
Yeah.
It gets picked twice or two guys later because it's a position of need for somebody, and maybe it doesn't go that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and to weigh in on this for myself, the draft class when we got Josh Allen was insane, and there were a lot of people out there who wouldn't have taken him and didn't take him. And to just say that he made the right choice and give him credit for that is one thing, but to say that it was like this superhuman decision making, like, I don't think so, man. It was just luck of the draw. These other guys were cursed, and it had nothing to do with us picking Josh Allen.
Right.
Like, so, I don't know. I don't think he's been that strong in the draft other than that one time, which you could technically attribute to just luck.
Right.
You
know, he has made some really good picks. I mean, like Matt Milano is a fifth-round pick.
In the later rounds.
But if you look at that draft with Josh Allen, I mean, the very first pick overall –
Baker Mayfield. Yeah.
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 I think he's going to be starting, right? In Tampa.
He's going to be starting in Tampa. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, but if you look at what they say about how that draft went, it's not like they went into it going, holy fuck, we need Josh Allen. Their scheme for that draft went down the shitter immediately, and they had to play catch up. So, like, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't say that we're that strong at the draft regardless in round one and two. Like in this.
Well, you could make that argument for sure, but I'm saying like if I'm a Jets fan like Cleveland or the Jets, it's like, well, at least it wasn't the first pick overall or the second pick overall.
Right.
I mean, Josh Allen obviously turned out. But then you go beyond that, like Rousseau, AJ Epinesa, I think, was our first pick. Because we had traded away our first round for Diggs.
For Diggs, yeah.
So he was a second round draft pick. So, he falls into that same position. Like,
yeah, he's
now going into year three or four.
He's okay.
He's just
kind of okay. So that's
right.
That's the thing is, like, and I'm not saying Brandon
Bean. Maybe we should draft more offensive players.
Well, that's the other thing I was going to say is, why haven't we gone after a wide receiver in so long?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Wow, right. The thing is, I don't understand. Me personally, there's like no way I would say, I'm starting to feel a little uneasy with Brandon Bean. By no means do I want to say that at all.
Yeah, there's plenty of those
but
people.
But
should we
have a somewhat concern in this first and second round picks right now? And it's kind of trendy, but the thing that he has hit on was Josh Allen, offensive player. And it really looks like Torrance, an offensive player, is going to be big.
Dalton Kincaid.
And then Kincaid, is as long as he keeps trending the way he's going to be big.
Like
he's
this draft, first and second round draft, could end up, if these guys stay healthy, I think they both could have very, very long careers and be rock solid for this team.
100%.
You know what I mean?
Do you call Singletary a bust for them?
Yeah.
Really?
I think you do. I mean,
I don't know.
I guess it depends on whether
I mean, he was a third-round draft pick.
Right.
Dawson Knox was a third round guy.
He ended up being a pretty good one. Singletary,
but again,
now
those are both offensive guys.
And I would say they both are hot and cold. You know what I mean? Like, it just depends on what season you're talking about.
Yeah. So the funny thing is, I think Devin Singletary probably didn't get helped because of the team he was drafted to.
Yeah.
Because when they built this offensive line, it literally was designed as a pass rush blocking offensive line. They literally went and got Mitch Morse because he had excellent pass protection, you know, and most of the offensive line, like Darrell Williams and a number of the guys, were specifically brought in because they were better pass blockers than they were run blockers. Right. So Devin Singletary did have some pretty good numbers after contact, but we've never had a great offensive line for a running back.
No, we haven't.
James Cook is going to have his work cut out for him
we haven't mentioned him.
Yeah, second round guy.
Yeah, which he looks like
he doesn't suck yet.
He looks like he can trend to be fine. right. No,
he doesn't suck yet.
I don't think. Yeah, you can already see the potential in him real quick.
But again, an offensive player. Maybe that's the trick. But then you go
Zach Moss, though.
But look at Gregory Rousseau, man. Like, there's a defensive player that so far through 2 years looks phenomenal. I mean, he looks the part. There's no doubt.
Well, and we talked about this before, too, is we don't draft people who are ready out of the oven. You know what I mean? We draft people who are projects. And that's kind of how this administration likes it. They want to be able to mold somebody into the perfect form.
And I think Kyer Elam was pretty young when he came in.
He's young. The type of system that he was in when Florida compared to what our defense is, completely different. It's just taking him a little more time to learn it. Benford, he ran a similar system in Connecticut in UConn, he played there.
Right.
So it is what it is. But when you're talking about offensive line, I just wanted to bring up the absolute improvement. I know Connor McGovern is hurt, but they haven't said anything long term.
No.
They didn't put him on IR. So he should be fine. Yeah. But the two guys that I really like that made this team, they got rid of Questenberry, which I totally agree with.
Yeah.
It was time for him to go. But Alec Anderson looked great this
preseason.
That's
crazy, isn't it?
He looked so good.
He looked really good, dude.
So he was an undrafted rookie free agent that was out of UCLA that we brought in last year. Mm-hmm. And he's flexible. He played center, he played guard, and he played tackle.
I like flex guys.
And he played him very well. And then Ryan Vandermark played right tackle.
I was just
going
to say, Vandermark,
and looked,
man,
really, really solid. So you have two really young guys, showed a lot of talent, depth guys. You know, Questenberry, just he's older. He wasn't good. He wasn't great.
Right.
Injured. So I like that move. Get rid of him. Give the young guys a chance. And they look decent. Actually better than decent this preseason. So,
well, that's the funny thing is, like I say, there were guys, we mentioned a couple. I thought Darrington Evans looked really good.
He'll be practice squad.
Isabella, you know, I thought looked decent. Like, there's guys that were surprise cuts. Like you said, Reed Ferguson's coming back.
Yep.
That's just a thing. They'll give him a few extra dollars for the inconvenience of being cut and brought back.
Right.
But he's coming back.
Yep.
They just needed a spot, like you said, to get a couple guys on IR. But yeah, for the most part, a lot of it we saw coming. There wasn't like any major surprises.
Just the boogie bash him.
That was the biggest one. And Von Miller, we both had hope that, you know, he would be ready sooner. But again, big picture wise,
yeah,
I think it's probably a good thing. I really do. I think the extra time, he says he's ready, but he's like somebody mentioned on the radio. Like, he's like the eternal optimist, right?
Right.
Like, I guarantee OBJ is coming to this team. Or, you know what I mean? Like, he's always on the bright side of everything. So,
which is great, but
which is great.
You're not 100% sure what you're going to get out of it, but
yeah.
But I, you know,
and again, keeping them fresh on those 34-year-old legs,
I want
whatever
them
they are, man. Yeah, you want them fresh for the end of the season.
I definitely want them fresh, 100%.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we got a lot of guys that are going to be built to go onto our practice squad that are going to be good depth guys. Unfortunately, there's going to be guys that are going to probably be snabbed up.
Yeah, we're going to lose a few.
But there's potential. There's going to be more potential guys for us as the Bills organization to look at, to bring in, to help fill some areas too. So,
Questenberry's going to get a job. you know, he's an experienced NFL player.
Correct.
He's fine. You know, all those guys of that ilk are going to be fine.
I just really like the fact that we kept two young guys. We brought in, you know.
They said Jonathan Kingsley, by the way, his raw talent, his raw ability, like you said, unpolished ability, is off the fucking charts.
And that's really all that matters to me. I mean,
yeah. I think to them, like they said, his actual, you know,
yeah,
build and physique and his strength and all that stuff is like ridiculous.
Well, they're high. Looking for guys too, and that's the thing. When you get into the draft and Brandon Bean, all these guys, you can watch what these guys produce on tape in college,
yep,
as much as you like want. But once they get to the pros, once they start trying to get into your system, there's just guys that they just don't work out the way you envision it to work out.
Well, and that's, right, I think, the important part of why you go for those, you know, to talk in like a video game turn, you go for those stat blocks, right? Because it doesn't matter what team you put Josh Allen on, he's still going to have that arm cannon. You know what I mean? It doesn't fucking matter. At that point, you just need to train them to work with your crew. Right. But if you get a guy who's successful in a specific organization that has a weird way of doing things, like you said, coming into the NFL, it's so fucking different. These guys are not prepared for it a lot of the time. So, yeah, I don't know if I would just go for the top tier guys out of some college that doesn't produce a lot of NFL players.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Well, I think it depends, too, because, like, moving up to get Dalton Kincaid, I think they got a guy that was polished, but he was just that unique of a talent.
Yeah, he was pretty special, for sure.
Yeah, and he filled a position that, since we had a slot opening, you know, that he could fill that position and also help, you know, with Dawson Knox when he got two tight ends on the field at the same time. Like, it just opens up the playbook a lot. So they're going to get those guys. But when you get a little further into the draft, you know, I think possibly we needed a cornerback. We drafted Kyer because he filled a role, but was maybe, like you said, didn't fit perfectly into our system. He's the square block trying to fill a round hole kind of a thing.
Right.
Young guy. I think they think they're still going to develop him. You know, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, cornerback depth is huge.
Yeah.
To have the depth is huge. So,
and by the end of the season, he may be starting. I mean,
you just never know, right?
Yep. Sometimes it clicks for different people at different times. We've talked about that before, too.
Yeah.
You know, Josh Allen, it was his third season that he really put it all together and became a professional quarterback. First season was okay. Second season was better. Not fantastic. But by the time the third year rolled around, he had a really good handle on it. So, worst case, maybe that's Kyer Elam's, you know, path, too.
But yeah.
We'll see.
And it could work out, too, because Dane Jackson, by the time he's up for a new contract.
Right.
You know, Kyer Elam's going to be, you know, in his third year in the league.
Maybe good.
So
to
they
go.
Could, you know, Dane Jackson being a seventh round pick, you know, if they feel they can get out of Kyer Elam or better, obviously, than Dane Jackson.
Right.
You let him slide. Kyer Elam becomes more of your, you know, closer depth cornerback, a guy that's fighting for that CB2 job too. So
yeah, and that's what I was gonna say, is he kind of feels like how Isaiah McKenzie was, where you're kind of like, you're gonna get your opportunity, but you better make it. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of on the bubble for him a little.
You can't pay every position 6 and 7 year contracts. Like you have Trey White. So to have two guys that you're gonna be paying big money to, really hard to do. Trey's getting older, so you just got to keep a rotation going, right? You got to keep some players moving. You got your Matt Milanos, Trey Whites, guys that you're going to pay money to, even at Oliver, whatever. They're going to be that core group that are going to be there all the time. But then beyond that, you're going to need those numbers. You're going to need guys that aren't making, you know, $10 or $12 million a year to fill some of those positions where you can.
Yeah, 100%. And I have the same issue too, but I think there's fans out there that get the false indication that every position on your football team should be premium.
Right.
And I can kind of get that way too. But listen, man, you build a team as best you can, but you can't have all 21 starters be Pro Bowlers.
Right.
You just can't. Like, it's just not possible. Real. So yeah. You're going to have a little bit of holes in certain areas, guys that, you know, aren't going to be the best starters at middle linebacker this year. We have a hole. Now, everybody I talk to, I'm so concerned about losing Trey Edmonds. We're going to have such a hole there. Well, we don't know how big that hole is going to be. Is it going to be a hole? Maybe it's going to be a little bit of a hole, but
in this defense, is that premium position?
You just can't. You like every position on your defense or your offense, you can't have Pro Bowlers at every position. You're just going to have holes somewhere, but it's all about how good that, you know, that position you can get it to, and then the depth behind that. You know what I mean?
Right. So, well, it makes sense, because if you give Trey Edmonds that $18 million, basically what he got, that comes somewhere.
Right.
Somebody else isn't getting paid, just weakens another position.
Yeah, that would have been very impactful. I mean, I think that would have had a devastating effect on
Leonard Floyd was part of that.
Connor McGovern never would have got signed.
Yeah.
That's a big left guard that we needed.
Yep.
Deontay Hardy, you know, solid slot guy. Sherfield.
Leonard Floyd is
You guys probably feel the same way I do, right? That like we've had such a problem with our O-line for so long that losing one defenseman when we have such a high class team on defense, it's not
right.
I mean, it doesn't concern me that much as the offensive line did.
Right.
We needed
right.
to do work.
Well, if I had a choice, I would keep Trey White over Trey Edmonds every time.
Yeah.
Because I think the cornerback is a more critical position than middle linebacker. I know they call the defense, and I know it is an important position, but the fellow you were talking about, I can't remember his name, the guy from Houston, I think he had 124 tackles last year.
Yeah, Kirksley.
Kirksley, that's it. Yeah. Yep. I think he had like 124 tackles last year.
He was a really, really solid middle linebacker.
Solid dude. So,
but the thing is, dude, he's got to clear waivers through 24 other teams first, man.
I mean? That's like, the hard part. Yeah.
Like the chance of us getting him is probably slim to none.
Right.
Someone's
going
to get claim to him faster than we would. So.
I guess what you probably have to look at is like that trickle down, right? Somebody claims him, but they got to cut somebody else, and hopefully somebody cuts a guy that eventually that you can use,
right?
You know, maybe to fill
and
a gap.
You can't just go and claim guys like picking them,
right?
Like, because what happens is you claim a guy, he's automatically, he goes right to your 53.
Well,
so if you claim a guy, he goes automatically to your 53, then you got to make a decision
on somebody else
who's coming off that now.
Right.
So.
Well, and that's a funny part, too, because I know depending on who was it they said the Bills had signed, and because he was cut being a veteran or whatever, he immediately becomes a free agent, can sign with anybody. So that's about the only time.
Okay, yeah.
I can't remember who it was.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name, though. But yeah.
Oh, maybe Isabella. Maybe because he'd been in the league long enough or whatever, 4 years or whatever. I think is.
Oh yeah, he wasn't waived. He was released, which he doesn't go on the waiver wire. He basically becomes a free agent.
He can sign with anybody for whatever amount he can get.
Yep.
And that would be the only way you're going to get a linebacker like that. I think, you said so.
Yep. Yeah, it's gonna be a fun
excited,
year, no matter
dude.
How you look
I mean,
at it.
I'm
guys.
Really excited.
I mean, you know. It's really going to be a fun year. We have a good roster. Oh, and the other thing I just wanted to mention, too, that I've seen kicking around is there's been talks about taking Taylor Rapp and pulling him down to play a little bit of hybrid linebacker safety once in a while. So basically they're saying they would want you can envision it as a 4-2-5 shell, right?
Oh, I see.
And pull him down to play more of a hybrid slash safety
so,
linebacker with
so
Milano.
So maybe you got a couple of outside linebackers, and he's a third? Or are you saying
four defensive linemen, Milano, Rapp, cornerback shell with your other two high safeties?
So almost more like a dime defense where he's playing a cornerback position somewhat.
Linebacker.
Kind of a deal.
Linebacker.
Or linebacker, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
It's like a hybrid safety. Like a guy that can, because he can cheat up and play the run. He's a very good tackling safety.
It's funny, that's like Troy Polamalu used to do.
Correct.
Like as a safety, he half the time he freaking played more like a linebacker than he did a safety.
He played up a lot. Yeah.
And Rapp is a fucking tackling machine.
So basically,
he'd probably help you in a run game too.
So what they're saying is like in this preseason, we were as vanilla as you could get.
Oh, yeah.
McDermott didn't show nothing.
For sure.
Nothing, dude. Like, there's some combos that are going to be like, people are going to be like, holy shit. You know what I mean?
I think he ran a couple of blitzes just to show that we would. But, I
but
mean,
just guys, just,
everybody
I really
that.
Hope that's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be, man. I do. McDermott's, he defensively, I mean, Carolina's defense, you got to remember, when he was the D coordinator.
They're top three or four every year.
Every year. They were good.
That's actually one thing I'll be really happy about is not seeing that fucking conversation again, which is anybody who talks about Leslie Frazier. It's always, well, yeah, but McDermott makes the calls. It doesn't matter. Like, he didn't even do anything half the time. And it's like I'm fucking sick of it. Let's just see what he can do.
Yep.
I'm glad to just know whether he can cut the mustard or not.
Yeah, we'll find out this year. Yeah.
And it's, I mean, we've had this talk in the office that he is kind of on the hot seat as far as amongst the fans, at least. Whether or not he actually could ever be cut from the team or whatever, there's a lot of fans out
there.
Court
of public opinion.
Who think McDermott isn't really doing the best job at everything.
Right.
But I'm excited. I'd like to see him, you know, have control.
Ooh, I agree.
I got a question.
You.
So what's the deal with, or can I get your guys' insight that Pegula dissolved PSE? Pegula Sports Entertainment, right?
Yeah. Or whatever. Splitting the two entities apart.
Yeah. So he split, instead of having the shell over both Sabres Bills, he's going
some people
Bills, Sabres, and then he's present over both.
Some people are, without saying it, I think they're thinking that potentially because of his wife's health issues, I think they might think he considered selling the Sabres. I personally don't believe that. I think he literally
loves the Sabres.
I know.
It's like his childhood
thing,
man.
That's where he started, right?
Yeah, that's his childhood dream.
I almost think it's more like a thing where he had a number of people playing pretty large roles in both organizations, and I don't think he feels that really helped them. So to me, it sounds more like we're gonna separate the two entities so that we can focus. Because a lot of people are going, well, he also committed to doing some refurb at the arena,
and I think
needs
that,
a new roof and stuff like that. He's gonna put some money into that. So
that might be ultimately what it is. It's an image thing. It's just showing the public and the world what his intentions are.
Right.
Is to make sure that each team gets the attention that they deserve. I think that's really all it is.
Yeah. I think there was some talk about the two rolling together
because people
they
have always
about
been
the new
saying,
stadium too.
Yeah, yeah, people have always been saying that he's just a Sabres guy all the way, and you know I think he's trying to get out of that a little bit.
Does him becoming the president of over both organizations, does that make it any, you know, is there any issue you think with him wanting to call the shots over one or the other more?
I actually think it's the opposite.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually think it's the opposite. I think, and again, I'll say it has something to do with...
is that your phone?
Yeah. My phone just plummeted in there.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, again, I think because of like the family and things like that, like I really do think he wants to find somebody to lead both organizations where he can more or less... Step away from it.
Right.
Spend some time with his wife.
Yeah.
The girls are older now. I mean, the one's a freaking tennis star or whatever.
Right.
Like, I mean,
right.
She's just incredible.
I just hope it works. I hope it works out good for the organization.
I hope so, too.
And it doesn't. And then also, he owns the Bandits and the Amerks.
Right.
But there is nothing said about those two organizations.
Yeah.
I don't know if that means anything, but...
I don't know.
I mean, not that it's as big of a... thing, but
no,
I just wasn't sure.
I think the Amerks would be bigger than even the Bandits. Like, I don't think if he sold Bandits or whatever, I don't think that would be a huge deal for anybody other than they do win championships.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
But I don't know. I mean, I haven't really looked into it heavily.
Sure.
But that's of the few articles I read with I think it's Ron Rakuya or whatever that played the stadium thing. I know they parted ways. So
right.
It almost sounds like he's made some major shakeups amongst the two, and it really does sound like get the right person to focus on the Sabres, get the right maybe the Sabres and the Amerks. I don't know.
I just want it to work out for both, and like especially the Sabres.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
I know this isn't a Sabres podcast, but I did want to bring up one point about the Sabres because it's also another team in the city here.
We share interest
that,
for sure.
That there's a lot of buzz going around for this season, mainly because of one goalie, 21-year-old Devin Levi. And
he looked decent
today. I think it was Sneaky Joe DiBiase was on this morning. Is he the one that's on?
Yeah.
He does the, Jeremy in the morning.
Yes, I think
so.
He is.
He compared the buzz and the, you know, the bigness of Devin Levi compared to like the one piece, like when we brought in Diggs. So right. it's like we needed some one piece to really get this train really pushing forward. And he said Devin Levi is that one piece where it's like, okay, now it's go time. We have everything else. We have Darlene and we have
Taves Thompson.
We have, you know, all these, we have Owen Powers, we have all these guys.
Yep.
And now we have this star goalie, which they're saying he already is a 21-year-old, that he's potentially a top 10 goalie in the NHL
right?
Already.
Well, that's the amazing part. Like, this reminds me of Josh Allen's really first good year, like really good year.
Right.
And bringing in Diggs. Like, those happened one right after the other.
Yeah.
And it's very similar. Tage Thompson just went nuts last year.
Yes.
Which was fantastic. And then, boom, hey, why don't you take this freaking all-star goaltender, too, to put with your team and maybe take it to another level? You already got, like you said, Owen Powers, Darlene, who they say Darlene is just blowing people away.
Yeah.
With the professionalism, the experience he shows,
the leadership
in the locker room. Like, he just appears to be, we nailed it on this guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then you sprinkle in these other guys, you know, like Paterka and,
yeah.
I mean, I know I'm forgetting.
Yeah, I know it's been
a
while since I've talked about the Sabres, so I don't think about them all the time.
Right,
you're right. There's reasons to get really freaking excited for October.
Yeah, yeah, because the buzz for them is similar to like the 2019 buzz of the Bills, right?
Correct.
You know what
exactly.
I mean? And it's like, oh boy, like we can have two really good organizations at the same time this year, and that hasn't happened since 1999.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
So,
as depressing as that is.
Yeah, that's right. Dude. That's 24 years ago.
Right?
No.
I know.
Yeah. Even hearing that is depressing as shit for me. Just how long ago that was.
Yep. No doubt. Yeah, that's crazy. But no, I just wanted to bring that up because, I mean, just as a Buffalo, you know, sports fan in general,
yes.
And a lot of
yes.
us are, they,
absolutely.
You know, we like to follow both because that's all we got here.
Right.
It's kind of
cool. Yeah, we don't have a baseball team or a basketball team.
Yeah, no one follows the Bisons. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, it's
minor, not like that.
It's minor league.
But it's going to be fun. This whole year, I think sports in Buffalo is going to be fun.
Oh, big time.
We got a lot to look forward to, guys.
Yeah, and it's coming right around the corner, man. So,
yeah.
So very exciting.
Yeah. Anything else, fellas?
I'm good, bro.
Cool. You excited about the roster?
Oh, big time.
You?
Absolutely big time.
Awesome. Me too, man.
I think we're in a really good spot.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
I agree, 100%.
I really like how they built it. So.
Yep.
All right, Jason, tell them how to listen to the podcast.
Yeah, you can find us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at ETD Buffalo. And you can listen to our podcast wherever you like. We're hosted on Spotify Podcast, and you can listen to us anywhere.
Awesome.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Next week, we got to get into it's Jets week, guys.
Yeah, man.
Game one, Monday night.
Season's coming.
Going to be a big one.
It's a statement that needs to be made hard and fast.
I agree 100%, man. It reminds me of last year when we had to play the Rams and everybody was like, I was nervous, like Super Bowl champs, holy shit.
Yeah.
The Jets with Aaron Rodgers, everybody's telling them they're going to be great. So
Did you hear about on the Reddit for Buffalo that they were talking about this fucking ayahuasca hat man that Rodgers won't shut the fuck up about?
No.
He's like, he keeps doing these ayahuasca things, and he's seeing this guy called the hat man, who's like this black figure wearing like a top hat. And they're talking about how that people should dress up as him for the game to like freak Rodgers out real bad because he's like scared of this guy.
Oh, no, yeah.
He's like, sometimes he carries around a dead rabbit or like smoking a cigar or whatever. It's like, what the fuck
we
are you talking about?
I do remember that.
We should
That's
do that.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Whatever bad karma we get.
I really
them.
Hope yeah. at least one person in the crowd does it. Just
no
for
kidding.
Just for the fun of it.
It's got to happen, right?
Right behind the bench, too, or something like
yeah.
that. Right,
oh, my God. That's funny. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. And I just wanted to end it with, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Go Bills.
Go Bills.